Revelation, the 13th chapter, and before long we will have completed our journey all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. This morning we'd like to draw your attention, though, to verse 7, where John tells us concerning this beast, "It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all of the kindreds and tongues and nations." When he takes control over the European community and begins to rule over the nations, there will come on the earth a reign of evil. Back in verse 2, John tells us that the dragon or Satan will give to this man his power, his throne, and great authority. We know that Satan today rules over the world. This has been the case since Adam forfeited the earth to Satan way back in the Garden of Eden. Satan offered to Jesus that he would give to him the world, for he said, "It is mine. I can give it to whomever I will." Jesus didn't dispute that claim. Paul calls him the God of this world. And at the present time, however, Satan is very subtle, and he seeks to rule over the world in a covert way. As Paul said, he transforms himself into an angel of light in order to deceive. Governments have the appearance of respectability. Satan controls from behind the scenes the governments of the world. Paul told the Ephesians that in times past, that is before they were converted to Jesus Christ, they walked according to the course of this world. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, as he defines the powers behind the governments of the world today. Writing again to the Ephesians, Paul said, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the forces that control the children of disobedience." In verse 7, John tells us that he has the power over all of the families, the tongues, and the people. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, when Satan empowers this man of sin, he will be the embodiment of Satan. Satan will take over the complete control of this man's life, seeking to be worshipped through this man. At that time, he will shed his guise of respectability and he will be openly defiant against God. Now, today there is quite a bit of hypocrisy because many on the surface or outwardly have a modicum of spirituality. They go to church with a big Bible, and they say many times the right things. They call on people to pray. They suggest that we need to have moral reforms. But that's all window dressing, it would seem, because the legislation that they endorse and approve moves in the opposite direction. And so it is a deceptive thing that takes place in government today. We are told that this man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, will speak blasphemous things against the God of heaven. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue his reign for 42 months or 3.5 years. Daniel, writing of him, said, then this king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and he will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed shall be done. When this man of sin comes and rules over the earth, it will be the darkest period in the history of mankind. The church will have been removed so that there will be no hindering forces from the world giving itself over to every vice and evil. It will be an open reign of evil over the earth. Right now, the presence of the church, a voice against evil. As Jesus spoke to the church of Philadelphia in the last days, he said, you have a little strength. And there is still a little strength among the Christians to withstand the evil tide that is seeking to engulf the world. But when that restraint, as weak as it is removed, then the earth will plunge into a period of darkness under the reign of evil and bring the earth to unparalleled kind of destruction and tribulation. I think that now we are beginning to get a foretaste of what the future holds. In all of the pro-homosexual legislation that is being advanced in the state of California in the legislature, it is just a foretaste of what lies ahead. The legalization of abortion on demand, the liberalization of seeking to interpret what constitutes pornography, all of these things are just the beginning of the reign of evil over the earth when men give themselves over to unbridled lust. The tragedy is that people don't realize how horrible it will be when evil takes complete control. There are examples in history, but unfortunately, people often ignore the lessons of history and are thus doomed to repeat them. In the history of the nation of Israel, as you go through the book of Judges, the people left to themselves turned to evil. As the result of the evil, they were conquered. They were oppressed. They became weakened, and their enemies defeated them. In that time of oppression, they would call to the Lord, and God would send a judge, a deliverer, and the people would turn back to God, and they would become blessed and prospered. But then in their prosperity, in the abundance of things, they would again forsake God. They would be caught up in their materialism. They would turn from God, and the cycle repeated over and over. Read the book of Judges, and you'll see what David later declared to be true. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But the history of mankind is the history of righteousness exalting a nation and sin becoming a reproach. As you continue in the history of the nation of Israel, as you go through their books of history, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you find that in the nation of Israel, that is the northern kingdom, where the kings forsook the Lord, where the kings ruled over the people and led them away from the Lord, especially the reign of Ahab, how the nation became so weakened and ultimately defeated by their enemies. And as our nation forgets God, and as we have sought to move God away from the public sector, where there have been the interpretation of our Constitution to the extent that they have prohibited prayer in public schools, where they have prohibited the mention of they call Christmas now the winter break, Easter is the spring break, and where they're trying to divorce anything that would relate to the Bible or Jesus Christ from the school or from public display. It's only a foretaste of what is coming. We have some strength, not much, but oh, thank God for the strength we do have, for if it were not for the influence of the church, things would already be much worse. You look at the Roman Empire, and under those Caesars who declared themselves to be gods, and see the debauchery. Look at Hitler, his far more recent history, and that which he led Germany to, the destruction of Germany as the result of this man's reign. But that is endemic with sin. Sin destroys. People don't seem to realize that. It's destructive in its nature. In fact, in the book of Revelation here, we had the name of Satan in the last chapter, Apollyon, which means destroyer. And he destroys nations, and he destroys individuals who are given over to him. And so we look at the evil of the reign of evil in a nation. But then it comes to the personal level. The reign of evil in a person's life. And there are many people today whose lives are ruled by evil. They are under Satan's power, and they are being destroyed, but they don't even know it. Paul tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Being destroyed, but they seem to be blind to it. The story of Samson in the Old Testament is one that has always fascinated me. This experience and relationship with Delilah. And what a picture this is when a man gives himself over to be controlled by evil. How deceived and how blind he becomes. When Delilah asked him, "What is the secret of your strength?" You see, the Philistine lords had come to her and offered her a great sum of money if she could discover the secret of Samson's strength. And so Samson said, "Well, if they would tie me up with green vines, I would be weak like any other man." And so she said, "Well, why don't you take a little nap, honey?" And while he was asleep, they brought in the green vines, bound him up. She said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he jumped up and the vines popped off. And so she said, "Oh, you were just teasing me, weren't you? You weren't really serious. Oh, you're a big joker. But what is the secret of your strength, Samson?" And he said, "Well, if they would bind me with new ropes, I would be weak as other men." And so she said, "Well, why don't you take a little nap, honey?" And as soon as he was asleep, the Philistines came up and bound him with the new ropes. And she cried, "The Philistines are upon you." And he jumped up and the rope snapped. So she began a little teary kind of stuff. "You know, you don't really love me. You know, you're just playing around and fooling me. You're just a liar, and I can't really trust you. What is the secret of your strength?" And he said, "Well, if they would take and the 7 locks of my hair and weave them into the loom, I would be weak as other men." "Well, why don't you take a little nap, honey?" And when they weave the locks of his hair into the loom, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you." And he jumped up and pulled the loom and everything with him. And she starts to cry again and says, "What's the secret of your strength? You know, really tell me, you know. And, you know, I can't believe anything. You don't really love me. You say you love me. I can't believe you. You're just, you know." And pressed him until he finally said, "Well, if they would shave my head. But take a little nap, honey." I mean, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this picture? Can't he see that he's being led down the path? I mean, you'd say, "Wake up, mister." You know, but such it is. When a person is caught in entanglements of sin and evil, they become blind to what's happening to them. They lose their sense of judgment, and they are being destroyed, but they don't even realize it. Jesus said, "The enemy has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy." And we see people who have come under the reign of evil, and we watch as their lives are being destroyed, and everything worthwhile is being destroyed. The tragedy is that a person who has come under the reign of evil has no power to escape from that reign. There is only one thing that can free a person from the dominion and power of darkness, and that is the greater power of Jesus Christ. Man does not have the capacity or the power to extricate himself from the rule of evil. It takes a power that is greater than that of evil to set you free. And Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe." And all the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to set a person free from the destructive power of sin. Once under the reign of evil, you're on the path down. The further you go, the lower you get. It's a downward path. Until you can be doing some of the most degrading and vile things thinkable, and some of them even unthinkable. I think of the practice of wetting and scatting in the homosexual community. I don't know how you can sink any lower than that in filth and degradation. But the same kind of practices among the adherents and devotees of Sai Baba. It seems like Satan wants to reduce a person to practices that are totally unthinkable. But that's only a foretaste of what the future holds. Today, your life is either ruled by evil or it is ruled by righteousness. And this is a choice that each of us must make. Do I want my life to be ruled by evil, or do I want my life to be ruled by good? There is a downward path in life. There is an upward path. We are all of us walking one or the other. To take the downward path leads you lower every day. And one day that path will lead you to the brink of the abyss, and you will fall off into the abyss. The upward path leads you higher every day. And one day when you come to the end of that path, you'll ascend into heaven. And a wise man will always look down the path to see where it is leading him. Each day, as I walk with Jesus, I'm becoming a better person. We sing, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, the upward path. Paul wrote, we with open faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being changed from glory to glory into his image by the power of the Spirit that is dwelling in us. John wrote, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're on the upward path. The question is, which path are you on today? Perhaps you've tried within your own powers to change your life. You realize that some of the things that you are doing are wrong and are destroying you, and you've decided and determined you're not going to do them again, but you find yourself doing them, and even worse things. And many people on the downward path have given up. They've given up hope because they have tried so hard to free themselves from those powers of evil that are reigning in their lives, lacking the power to change. They've given up hope and feel that they're lost. In fact, they even try to trace it to their genes or something else. It's interesting today how many of the court cases now they're trying to say, well, I inherited in my genes. And it's just something that I have no control over. No, it's a choice. A choice to take the path that leads to destruction, or the choice to take the path that leads to life. Now, if you're on the path to destruction, you can't do anything to help yourself. You have to find the higher power, the greater power. And of course, it is the power of the stronger force that expels the evil. And the power of Jesus Christ is able to break the fetters that bind a person in sin, able to make the changes able to put you on a path that leads to eternal life. What you can't do for yourself, Jesus will do for you, and he will transform you and bring you in to the kingdom of God, the path of righteousness, as David said, for his name's sake. Let's pray. Father, we look around the world in which we live and we see the powers of darkness and the rule of evil. Lord, we realize that those that are in the legislative powers of government are there because they have been voted in by the people. And so we see, Lord, the moral decay within our society, the corruption and the destruction that is coming to pass as the evil forces are becoming more overt. Lord, we recognize that it comes back to an individual thing, that it's my choice to walk the path of righteousness that leads to eternal life, or to walk the path of sin that leads to eternal destruction. Lord, there are those who are on that path that are being destroyed. Some of them, Lord, are blind even yet to what is happening. Open their eyes, let them see the truth, that they might choose the path of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here in the front. As we are dismissed, if God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, you'd like to live the kind of life that would please the Lord. If you'd like to live a life of righteousness and following Jesus Christ, the path of eternal life, we invite you to come on down. They'll be glad to pray for you. We can guarantee that the power of the gospel can set you free from the reign of evil in your life. You can be changed. You can't change, but you can be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. It's your choice. And if God's been speaking to your heart, we encourage you to take the next step. Choose life. Choose to follow Jesus. May the Lord watch over and bless you this week. May his hand be upon you, guiding you in his ways. May you experience the sense of his presence and his love. In Jesus' name.